This is the microwave generation, so it's a little difficult.
That's true. I respect when I talk. When I talk, I get motivated, and then my pressure. I talk as if though I'm quiet. I'm not.
You don't sound that way. I think by now I know your style.
You know.
All right. You know. I'm gonna thank you. I'm gonna respond, not necessarily to you, but you having raised the point about the comments made by Minister Abrams. I'm gonna respond. So this was a comment from one of my colleagues. I call him a technology consultant. I don't know if he wants me to call his first name, but I'll call his last name, Mr. Clark. And he said he makes reference to what Minister Abrams said in Parliament quite recently. Barbados has a high cost of electricity, but there are three factors that he wanted to bring to the fore. One, BLP does not import, BLMP, Barbados Light and Power, does not import oil, so they cannot negotiate the costs. Government does. The second point is that the fuel clause adjustment makes up a substantial amount of our monthly bills, and it is not set by the Barbados Light and Power. And thirdly, Barbados has very few electricity outages, despite its dense population. And he went on to say that from the comments he heard from Minister Abrams, it suggests that government is considering shifting the ownership of the grid from BLMP to itself or to third parties. The question he asks is, if this is done, who will conduct the maintenance? And will maintenance be done with the same urgency as the waterworks utility currently does? So he's asking a legitimate question. He said that the Barbados Light and Power may discriminate between energy producers and its own source of generation, but that would create instabilities in any grid if BLMP was wishy-washy with switching between power generation sources. Additionally, he says that the idea of discrimination is even more unfounded. And these are comments he made in relation to what he heard the minister says. Because generation of power must match consumer demand, it is not really up to the BLMP to determine the profitability of any one power provider versus another. Ultimately, the provider will be paid based on the wattage provided, which will actually be considered a savings by the Barbados BLMP, which is Barbados Light and Power, since they would not have had to invest in the installation and the maintenance of the generation equipment. He says going renewable is a path that we should embark on, but rushing ahead to disturb existing stable and proven infrastructure would be a bad move. And he said, we must not see the Barbados Light and Power as a devil, but realize that they're doing a good job, and they have done a good job in Barbados. And if we doubt, then we can consider how few complaints we get from the BLMP versus what we hear from the telcos and BWA, two other utilities. So hoping that he's suggesting that we manage the issues regarding electricity in the future very carefully. He goes on, but I'll stop there. And that is a response to some of the comments that this person would have heard as it relates to the Honorable Wilfred Abrams. He was making a reply as a comment. This is Down to Brass Tacks. It is actually 1:03 p.m. You're on the air. We have a number of callers. I'm going to try to get through to you. We're going until 2 p.m. today. You're on the air. Good afternoon.
Miss Haig?
Miss Lisa Gale. Miss Haig was on last week.
Yes.
Yes.
I was saying, Lady was talking about she got her garden took up for 6 months.
Oh, that's the very first caller.
Yeah. But I wouldn't know where she lived at. If nobody's lived there in her district.
I think that was one of the questions I asked. But I did ask for her number to be left so that I can do some more investigation and also put her on to the SSA.
But I wouldn't know if she lived in the district and her garden took up 6 months. What the rest of the people doing?
She said that other people's garbage is being picked up. Hers is being left.
But her garden must be in her yard. That didn't pick up hers.
Right, so with so little information, it is good to hear some more so that we can, you know, make the right responses.
I feel I took a pick up the recipe guy and took her grandma saying, so her yard. So she had a brand new son and get it pick up.
Well, we are assuming that her garbage is in the yard. Your response is based on if it is in the yard.
Yes. But if she can't go in her yard, she'll have to get brown side. Because it's not red. I know we're going to let stuff there for 6 months and don't talk about it.
Agreed. Right. You probably will be getting a lot more calls if in fact that was so.
So she must be making a mistake.
Well, let's wait to get some more details.
Yeah.
On her scenario.
Okay, then you have a blessed day.
Thank you for calling. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good afternoon. We have, yes, you go ahead. I think that's breathing. You're on the air. Good afternoon. Down to Brass Tacks. Good afternoon, Down to Brass Tacks. Are these people getting scared? You're on the air. Good afternoon. I'm not hearing. That's all right. I do have a number of WhatsAppers who have raised the issue of garbage in a way that, I mean, you can tell some people are irate. And then some persons have also spoken about the situation with respect to persons losing their lives. Those are two issues. Another gentleman here says he wholeheartedly agrees with the one lady. Says she's in Massachusetts. And their garbage, she's a Barbadian, but she's been living in Massachusetts for a little while. And she's seen how garbage has been collected. They come at 10 in the morning every day. Different collections. There's even a collection specifically for glass and those types of garbage. And she's just in awe at the way in which the garbage is collected, how efficient the service is, etc. And she commented on how it would have been, of course, an honor to see her country in Barbados operate like that. And these are usually good examples that we can learn from. Of course, we don't have the requisite resources to necessarily replicate the scheduling and the types of ways in which, but you can learn from them. I think we can, after all these years, we can try to build a system based on the size of Barbados, the number of trucks we have, based on the number of, if you separate it in, I think I always understood Barbados to be in four categories, where there's a service for letter A, B, C, or D, how many trucks per neighborhood, how regular a pickup can happen, and just find a system that can work. So she was sharing that as one, and then another person said here that they agree with Mark wholeheartedly and hope that even if we consider this thinking, we can even consider Liat and how Liat's shares can be distributed, etc. Well, we go back to the phone lines. Hope no one chickens out. This is Dr. Brastatz. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Ms. Gail. Thanks for taking my call.
Hi, good afternoon. I haven't heard you in a while.
Because I really enjoyed the festival this year. And
oh, you
I
did?
I wanted to thank the sponsors who would have played an integral role. And had not for them, I don't think that I would have enjoyed it as much. And particularly in the case of VOB with Dennis Johnson's fireworks.
Mm-hmm.
And in that regard, I want to heartily commend Armstrong Agencies because mm-hmm. I found that that program really kept me in tune with the festival. And for all intents and purposes, it was the pulse of the festival. It kept me with updates. It gave me briefings. It gave me interviews with some of the artists. So I was very thankful for the sponsorship from Armstrong Agencies and the program for our work with mm-hmm. Dennis Johnson.
And you learned a lot, I hope.
Yeah, I hope it'll be replicated next year. Honestly.
So did they have fireworks the year before and the year before?
But with Lightmares, yeah. And Lightmares is formidable. Mm-hmm. But I think that Dennis Johnson ably held his own.
Mm.
I wanted to call earlier, too, to compliment Chelsea Tuak on mm-hmm. her. Well, she didn't get a medal in the surfing in the recent Pan Am Games. But I was very proud of the way she carried the Barbados flag. You know, I saw the pride in her chest. and I saw her exude a patriotism.
Yes.
But I was very pleased and very satisfied with it. So even though she didn't get a medal, I was still always in the corner as a supporter. I keep I keep a very keen interest in her surfing career.
That's very good. I actually had two people to congratulate at the beginning of the program, but I ended up only speaking about the economy because I didn't want to speak too long, but I wanted to congratulate. So thank you for congratulating Chelsea. She did well indeed. And she also did talk about how it went and what she learned from it, etc. But I want to congratulate Shane Brathwaite.
Well, yes, Shane Maloney, you mean.
Sorry?
I find you two of these young people are ably putting Barbados on the
hurdler.
Sports map of the world. Oh, you mean Shane Brathwaite.
Shane Brathwaite, and speak specifically to his...
Oh, he certainly deserved...
Did well, yes.
His kudos.
Having come forth in the last one, four years ago. So I want to also just say that he attended the St. James Secondary School, and I'm sure his entire alma mater, now the Frederick Smith Secondary School, his entire alma mater would be very pleased. So we are honored indeed to have one of...
Yeah, but I join with you recommending him, but every time you mention school, it depresses me.
Oh, the word school.
Because the scholarships that just came out of my alma mater, once again, did not gain a scholarship for exhibition.
Don't let us miss the point. This is a congratulation to Mr. Shane Brathwaite for his excellent work done and just signaling that he is a St. James student.
And I commend him heartily for his effort.
Right, so my second point, remember I said I had two things that I wanted to congratulate on.
Yes, please forgive me.
That's all right. The second one is all of those students who did well, who surpassed their own expectations, even those students who got threes and numbers that we wouldn't have, even fours, who did good. We know we had a number of both Barbados scholars as well as exhibitionists, and we congratulate those, but there are a whole host of other students, hundreds of them, who sat.
What was instructive to me is that in the comments in the press, some of the exhibition winners were interviewed, they all said that they had to make sacrifices in social life.
Who
they
worked
all had
hard.
To apply themselves.
Yes.
They all they had to apply to bring about a discipline to
That's
their
right.
agenda.
And I want to congratulate them.
Yes, and it evidently redounded to their success.
To their benefit. But you may go on. You wanted to say something about Waterford Bottom.
I wouldn't dwell on it because I think I'm waiting for Peter Wickham to discuss it with him. But there is a new person on the political horizon that has aroused my interest. And in my moving around and in my making inquiries, it seems that he's going to be a formidable candidate in the next election.
Is he in St. Michael Northwest?
No, this is in St. Michael West.
St.
Michael West? And the person I'm talking about is Christopher Gibbs.
Okay.
I am surprised that as I move around as the amount of work that he's been able to do on the ground already. I mean, even as a political neophyte.
You mean having not received the nomination? As yet,
I don't think that they've reached that stage yet.
Okay.
But I'll tell you this. There's no doubt in my mind that he's the candidate that the members of the constituency are already, already quite comfortable in nominating. I think that he will carry...
That is a very forward statement, but if you say so.
There's something energetic about his personality that seems to have inspired a lot of the young men around.
People felt that way about my friend... My friend Ronnie, I know Sandra Husbands holds that seat, and she won it with 4,000, in excess of 4,000 votes.
But I'll tell you this, for a newcomer to the political scene, I think that he will win St. Michael West in the next election. I think that his margin of victory, I think it will be considerable.
I join with you to wish him all the best. There's another candidate there.
I certainly do, but I have only had a cursory meeting with him.
Yes.
And so I still need to know what inspires him to come, what it is he can bring to the table, how familiar he is.
He did talk about that. You know, there was a scenario a couple months ago, both him and his contender. Okay.
But for my own personal satisfaction, because people often come to me and ask me what I think. And if I can offer a comment on a personage,
you must be well informed.
Some background. But so far, I am impressed. And he seems to have... an interest in seeing the progression of the working class. And what we've always wanted in this constituency was somebody to get the constituency forward, to raise the level in this constituency. So he's a very interesting prospect, and I think he's going to stimulate.
But that is particularly under the banner of the BLP, or you mean?
I understand he's running under the banner of the BLP. Right. I don't think that he'd be seriously considered otherwise, at least in this constituency.
Okay.
Not now.
Okay. So you're not interested in the PDP?
Truth to tell, I have not gotten over my lukewarmness towards them. Okay. And I don't know a lot of the members in that party. I am only familiar with the Reverend Attlee, mm-hmm. but I am not familiar with any of the others. But in any case, mm-hmm. we know the political reality in Barbados. And if a third party is going to have to struggle, and seriously need to have some resources behind it. But I think that Christopher Griff has left he's making a good impression on the ground. Mm-hmm. I hope he remains steadfast in his pursuit. And until he and I meet and have a more in-depth tete-a-tete, mm-hmm. I don't think I can say anymore, but I am keenly observing how he's operating on the ground. And so far, I'm impressed. He's going to be a formidable candidate to beat, mm-hmm. Mr. Michael West.
It's interesting, I saw another candidate in St. Michael who's interested in St. Michael Northwest. Another young gentleman, entrepreneur, and a couple other things. And I must tell you though,
Miss Gale, I would mm-hmm. really like to see a lot more young women get into politics in Barbados.
We do have a few. I have a colleague.
Party, they will need it. Will be the Barbados Labour Party. But I would like to see a lot more young women, because when you look at the university graduates, mm-hmm. and you look at, even as we speak, you look at the people who win exhibitions or what have you, it seems that they bring an intellect and a sense of depth to their pursuits. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's what we need in politics. And I will feel quite comfortable with a lot more intellectually inclined women, especially those who have community development and community improvement at heart, coming into the political arena. I really would like to see that. But I realize that you've been very generous in giving me time today. I wouldn't want to abuse your generosity. So I'll not listen to the rest of the program.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much for having me.
Yes, sir. I do have one comment as it relates to those young women who are joining and who are keen to join. I know we did have one who I've known for many years, who did herself well during the last election, Ms. Crystal Austin, still has political aspirations, still very much competent and capable. She's taken on another role, but she's still extremely able-bodied, as you said, and she has quite a bit of competence and eloquence and capability, and I expect to hear about her 10 years from now, 5 years from now in the political arena impacting. You just mentioned the whole point of community service, and she's been a community woman at heart, so it is hopeful that she continues along that vein and shares her not just her interest but also her competence with the people of Barbados.
So I too have paid a hawksight observant to her, and I did mention on the call-in program as an amenable prospect for the future, mm-hmm. but she's still with the UPP.
No, I get the impression that she's no longer with the UPP.
But I sincerely hope that she joins as the Prime Minister, because I think that the Prime Minister is on the right track. And I think that although there's some foibles, that there's some mistakes that I don't feel comfortable with, because I can understand lowering the tax rate under the instruction of the OECD and probably complicit with the IMF from 35% to 5%. I can see how that can help the corporations in Barbados. But not to live on that. I feel very, very, very disturbed about that. Very mm-hmm. disturbed, bordering on anger about that. Because that was money collected from the consumers to be passed on to the government. It is not the proprietor's money. And I feel that should go into the Treasury. Even if not the Consolidated Fund, certainly the Treasury. So I am very upset about that. It would not cost the Barbados Labour Party my vote. But I am not happy at all about mm-hmm. that. I want to see that rectified. But once again, you've extended your incredible generosity to me, and now I feel indebted to you.
Up and on.
Up and on, sister.
Don't Brass Stacks. We actually have Don't Brass Stacks. We have a WhatsApper here who is making an interesting suggestion. It says to ease sanitation services, household garbage can be collected once a week as opposed to twice. Then the trucks can get to other locations. Furthermore, they can work at extended hours, 11 p.m. to 7 a.m., to move faster with traffic on the road, or faster with less traffic, sorry, on the road. That one is interesting, because some people don't, there are some persons who get two pickups, and I think those are people who either live on main roads or persons in the city. There are a couple of people actually in the city, there are actually 4 garbage pickups per day, last I checked. But that person is suggesting that we broaden it. But in a scenario where there is commercial garbage, etc., that is picked up a little more frequent, especially where passes by you have to pass and they are perishables, etc., whether it's the back of a supermarket. But I think those are paid for. I remember when I was in a different space, we paid for our garbage collection at the chamber at that time. So that is it for that WhatsApper. We have another one here who mentioned they're agreeing with the previous caller about Dennis's co-hosting. And it said that they're agreeing with him to say that he had a profound impact on them in terms of how he dealt with the program. And he is really pleased to have listened to this episode, this version of Fireworks. So that's good. Dennis is getting some positive commentary there as it relates to the calling program. A couple others here. A number of other persons are talking about the one person agrees with Mark. I think I mentioned that one before. So that is it for those WhatsApps. I want to go back, though, to the discussion on younger persons joining the political fray. And while I think there must be a wide cross-section of representation. So, I mean, if we go back to what happened in Canada some years ago, there were persons who, you know, the representation was broad. We had persons from the Muslim community, the Rastafarian community, persons representing all elements of interest. Let me put it that way. And in a scenario like Barbados, where we have young people, I remember in the previous administration we had in the Senate, we had Senator Kerry Eiffel at the time representing the disabled community. One of the things I want to see is a wider cross-section of representation where people feel as though their issues are being heard. And even if a representative doesn't have a disability or doesn't come from a specific place, that they too can be in the vanguard of those respective those areas of interest. And that's what representation is about. Whether it is gender, whatever the situation is. We do have some callers coming back, so I'm going to go back to the phone lines. This is Dr. Brastax. Good afternoon. You're on the air. We're going until 2 p.m. today.
Good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon.
Yeah, are you hearing me?
I can hear you loud and clear.
Oh, yes. Thank you, ma'am. Good afternoon to you, ma'am.
Mm-hmm.
Good afternoon to all listeners.
Mm-hmm.
I would just like to make 2 brief, quick comments. What I would like to say is, let me offer sympathy to the that driver that, you know, that lost his life,
yeah,
you know?
To his family.
Yes. I want to extend condolences to the family, mm-hmm, and friends and in Barbados and overseas, and the ZR and Minibus Association members and other drivers and conductors and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And what I would like to say is this, that some people that doing these kind of foolish things, they need to sit down and study that when they do these kind of things, that they are hurting people. And then sometimes some of these people have little children that love them and always looking out for them when they come home. And, you know, sometimes you can't tell a little child that maybe 2 or 3 years old, well, so-and-so passed, and the child does not understand that. That is hurting. And then now when you have to tell families overseas what happened, it really throws them into a tailspin, because very often now they've got to look now to beg for time from work to come to the funeral and all, because it is foolishness. And then now, you take somebody's life, man. And then when then you may only get about $150, maybe $100, maybe even less. And you take a whole human life for a few dollars that if you go in the supermarket now, by the time you pick up three or four against and put in the trolley, that money almost gone. Huh?
You know, you can't really explain.
Sometimes
when you sit and think about how crime occurs, I don't think there's always that level of rationality. People do some really awful, is a good word, some really awful things. And I don't think they think. I don't think some of them sometimes are operating under normalcy in terms of their thought patterns and thought processes. When you read the court pages, or you sit in a court and listen to some of the things and the actions that people take, they absent themselves from normal thinking sometimes. That's why people say they had a lapse in judgment and those scenarios, because you really cannot justify the behavior.
Yes. I would like to see us not crossing you something else before I get cut to, you know?
You don't want to cut. You go ahead, sir.
No, I mean before you wrap up, you know, I want to say...
Go ahead. I was just responding to that point.
The next thing I would like to say to is that I find nowadays that your dog seems to be getting like those record players like before, you know? And I mean, there are a lot of people, maybe some caller or two might even agree with me, that you cannot get the record players like before. Mm-hmm. You know, like if you buy a set, you might get the CD and the cassette tape and the radio, but you might not get the old-time record. And I mean, there are people, including myself, who still have a few old-time 45 RPM records and LP records. So, I mean, I am not saying that stores or the people overseas should make thousands and thousands of records, but they should still make one or two in between and you know, and things sell. So even if a store in Barbados bring in, let me say, two or three, just see how it work out. And if you see the sell, you can order in three more and things, you know. But it is, to me, I find it is ridiculous now that nowadays you cannot get a record player and things like before, because everybody will say, man, you could go on YouTube, blah, blah. But everybody would not have the chance to have such a convenience. So, I mean, you should still be able to get LP, you know, record players and things, you know, to just done away with anything. So, you know. And I will always say before I close that technology nowadays is good and it's bad. It can bring you up in the air and then it can land you flat down on the ground.
My response was going to tell you that technology has changed, and that is why you've not seen the proliferation of the LPs anymore, because they've gone to a different type of technology to facilitate the listening to music and the recording of music, etc.
Yes.
But you do admit that technology has changed.
Has changed, yes. And let me say quickly before we go, congratulations to Calixtonia and Julie on that song about Sudan. I think that is one of the greatest songs for the 21st century. And a song like that should be put on a 45 LP and probably put something else on the flip side. I think that is a great, great song. Congratulations to Calixtonia and Julie on that thing. Sudan is a nice song, nice melody.
Mm-hmm.
And let me congratulate all the other Calixtonians who participated in the crossover competition too, as well. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you so much. I would say there was another song on Sudan which was done by Mr. Blood. I believe if that song was the song that he used on finals night, he probably would have done better, but that's me being cheeky. We actually have, Dr. Brastax, we actually have a WhatsApper replying to my previous caller. And he said that the last caller should know, or let the last caller know, that record players are on sale at Price Mart if he wants. I can probably leave this number for him. If the producer, he can call back and ask the producer for the number that was left on the WhatsApp. And he would try to accommodate him. if he has. The gentleman said he doesn't have a PriceSmart card, but he can try to accommodate the caller. This is Down to Brass Tacks. You do get some contacts. Good.
Hello, Mrs. Gill.
Good afternoon.
Hi, this is Glenn Marie.
Yes, sir. I called your name today.
How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks.
Good. I have to start off with our usual salutation up and on, but I must confess that I am not going to, I can't say it with the same emotional satisfaction and enthusiasm that I normally do in the past. And
I wonder why.
Like, because your one of your earlier calls, your last up and on caller, mm-hmm. I'd mentioned it, but then he never got back to it.
He mentioned that he didn't go back there. He said he doesn't want to spend too much time on it.
Oh, well,
you know, you don't spend too much time on it.
I want to take it a bit further. And I feel that as members of the Cormier family, we have to have a frank discussion with each other.
About?
I believe too, it pains you that we sure. that I cannot recall when last Cormier at least won an exhibition.
And why does it pain you, sir?
Because I think that that is what you go to school to do.
So why it doesn't pain me?
It doesn't pain you?
Mm-hmm. And all the many other schools that they don't have a sixth form.
We have Cormier had a sixth form
for
next
many years.
Mm-hmm. We have not done well in Barbados.
But I ask you a genuine question. Why does it pain you
because
that the Cormier school has not received an exhibition or a scholarship in many years?
Because I think that is part of the function of the education system, just like the other ones who have.
So what about those, not being cheeky, but what about those students who leave Cormier and go to the other schools and get a scholarship?
That is all well and good, but the credit goes to where you start
where
the exam at
yes,
the time.
Yes, indeed.
Right, so that is not, like I said, I hope we can have a frank, honest discussion with each other. What about? It bothers me because I want to, first of all, let me commend Sir Michael for winning 7 in one fell swoop. Mm-hmm. I think there's a tremendous achievement for a school that has not been in the sixth form realm for very long. But I've interacted with the current headmistress, I think it's Dr. Mears, at St. Michael. Mm-hmm. And if you deal with her, you know that she's a serious, purposeful woman. If you've been to St. Michael's school in recent years, you see that there's been upgrading attitude, there's a discipline, there's a seriousness, there's a different atmosphere at St. Michael's, as has obtained also with the Aline School, which I think under Mrs. Beckles will in some time produce scholarship winners or exhibition winners, because there's a discipline when you enter those schools. Let me tell you what I've noticed. The common factor. I had reason to visit Harrison College, St. Michael, Queen's College, Cormier, and some others with LSD and whatnot, as I was to supply some books that they wanted from me. Right? Mm-hmm. And when there's a distinct difference between the atmosphere at St. Michael's, Harrison College, Queen's College, Allen School, which I did not experience at Cormier or even LSD at some of the other schools I've been to. There's a discipline, there's something in the atmosphere that lets people know there wasn't a lot of rock, even at break time, there wasn't a lot of raucous people running around and shouting. And I didn't see any garbage on the ground, no bottles, no paper, anything at all.
But you saw this at Cormier?
I feel that it reflects.
No, just for clarity, you saw this at Cormier?
No, I said, I did not see any garbage on the ground, any bottles along the corridor, on the stairs, at Harrison College, Queen's College, St. Michael or Allen School.
Okay.
All right. And I think Cormier, there are exam results machines, so to speak. There's a system in place. Mm-hmm. There's a method. There's a structured method. And above all, there's an ethos, there's a belief that we are looking for academic excellence.
So just to be clear, we haven't seen this in our time, because in our time there was leadership. There was discipline, yes. And there was the things that you speak of. When you come to the school, you felt, of course, proud to be associated with the institution.
Right.
And even after school, you felt proud to go back and represent, whether it's in hockey or whatever. Because you have a few bodies of old scholars, whether it is through hockey or volleyball or cricket, any of those. What I'm gathering from what you're saying, because you started out talking about your disappointment with respect receiving scholarships.
For several years.
For several years.
Can you
in my time, we had some exhibitions.
Gary, remember when last you went an exhibition?
I think it is about 13 or 14 years ago.
Okay. And you think that they're satisfactory?
I had this discussion offline with my husband, who's also a Cameroonian.
Uh-huh.
And our discussion, his perspective and mine are different.
It seems mine and yours are too.
We are different, yes.
Right.
And I say that because interacting with other schools and interacting with the Barbados that we're in now, yes, there is a difference with Cameroon. I'm not going to deny that.
There's a coarseness to Cameroon.
Yes, but what I would say is that the Cameroon of yesteryear and the Barbados of yesteryear, the two are different.
Understand that.
Right. And what I'm seeing is that the Barbados of yesteryear, let me just make the point. The Barbados of yesteryear, where we were punching above our weight, where standards were important, where certain things did not slide, we were far more dealing with, not perfection, but mediocrity was not the norm. It was not the thing that we just welcomed so readily. I feel as though that has seeped in to our community. And whether it has seeped into Common Mirror, I haven't done much.
I think that the point you're making is that it has seeped into Common Mirror.
No, but while I was at Common Mirror.
You're talking about current Common Mirror. Give me this point real quick. I'm talking about the current Common Mirror. And when you talk about the Barbados has changed and Common Mirror has changed,
mm-hmm.
Barbados has changed for the schools that have done well academically.
Mm-hmm,
did Common Mirror exist and operate in the same Barbados? St. Michael's,
Maybe there's not the same leadership.
And that comes from leadership. Just like how you want leadership to be strong and dynamic and far-reaching and visionary in politics, or in the form of a prime minister or mm-hmm. political party or whatever, or business, mm-hmm. you have to have the thing at the school and the board.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not making more. I'm tired making excuses. Mm-hmm. I get calls of people harassed because they say, you're letting them decide, and you're...
I don't share the same perspective, I think it is important that you share your views because my point, let me just say, the reason why I took the position I took was because while I was there, while we have that quest for, I keep saying quest for righteousness, but that's not the right word, but going after good character and good discipline and those things. Right. That's what I experienced when I was there. That school was instrumental in me becoming the woman I am today.
Okay, and me too.
And I had teachers who showed love, who showed firmness, who showed posture, position, and leadership. That's what I saw with Miss Pyle and Mrs. Spoonie Roach and the many other teachers who were within the same compound while I was there.
Uh-huh.
We also had students who cared for success and who went after success. We did not have a lot of scholarships then either.
Barbados Cameroon has changed, and the leadership of Cameroon has changed, not only in personnel, but in quality of leadership,
mm-hmm.
both at the principal level and at the board level.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the things that help to make the school what it is. And like I said, well, we've done a tremendous job for generation, almost being like a kind of finishing school where you come as a well-rounded person, have some development.
Right. Could you stick a pin?
You always talk about the commerce spirit.
Yes.
The commerce spirit has to be demonstrated at some point,
mm-hmm.
or once again be demonstrated in the quest for academic excellence.
But one of the things that I can tell you, in my time at Common Mirror, when there were not scholarships either, we might have had one or two, and I mean sporadic, we might have had one or two exhibitions. We were people who populated all, whether it's genre of music, all areas of industry, etc. At management and leadership levels. We were people who cared for a fellow man, who looked out not only for each other, but for other people, who had empathy, who were leaders. To me, that is what the whole Common Mirror spirit is. It's not about just being at the top.
So once you do that, there's no point there. You don't have
No. I'm not saying that you shouldn't quest. You shouldn't have a quest for success.
I see you're making excuses.
No, I'm saying that the Common Mirror that I went to school at was about the well-rounded individual making a contribution to society. It wasn't just putting out number ones. It wasn't just that.
Listen, you know, I talk about the system. Let me mm-hmm. tell you, when I was at Common Mirror before you. When I was at Common Mirror, when I did my O levels,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yes.
When we got to fifth form, we had to do the literature books for the first time
mm-hmm.
in the fifth form. We discovered that Harrison College, they were doing it in fourth form mm-hmm. and in fifth form. So you had 2 years to do that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because I think Carmel has eventually gone to do that. When they went upper six,
mm-hmm.
I did lower six English, then upper six English.
Same with me.
I had to do 14 new set books in 1 year.
Yep.
You understand? That's what I'm saying. There's a system. There's a method.
Mm-hmm.
There's a theology, there's an ethos, there's an outlook that we do the things necessary to get academic excellence.
Excellent. So you're saying it's not present at Common Mirror.
We need to do it. We need to make it a hallmark, not only produce well-rounded citizens. We are legendary for that all over the world. I am proud of that. I won't swap that for anything in the world. But in truth and in fact, there's much more to go to school than just that.
Agreed. The chair of the board is a Common Mirrorian.
I am well aware of that.
And I'm sure you've had off-site conversations with him about what's happening and, you know, what's going on.
I depend these days mostly on public perception.
Well, and it can't just be public perception. If you feel so passionately about uh-huh. this, if you feel so passionately about this subject, it would be good to have a conversation with the chair and see what best you can do. But it is one that I feel, the reason why I feel the way I do is because I am of the position that an individual is spiritual, physical, sexual, has all these other type beings other than just being academic. And when we have a rounded individual that can contribute to society in a positive way, and the person hasn't got 5 wands or 7 or 10 wands at CXC, and then when they've gone off to Cape, they haven't got 4 wands, they are still a contributor to society.
I never said otherwise, but let me tell you something. I'm of the same mind as a well-rounded person, because I spent several years studying and qualifying myself in psychology, sociology, social psychology. So I was like, I'm a relevant human relation, human behavior, and what makes them think and whatnot. I know Maslow's hierarchy of needs, I know all that stuff. So I'm well aware of the importance of producing I think the term is to be actualized citizens. Mm-hmm. Where you actualize yourself. I know all that jargon.
Okay.
But the truth
it's
is
not
the
jargon,
fact.
Though.
I knew all the facts. Right?
Okay.
I could talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
But the truth is the fact that something is missing at Common Mirror. And just like if you're a drug addict or alcoholic or a gambler,
mm-hmm.
yeah, addicted to gambling, you have to recognize that you have a problem before mm-hmm. you can begin to address it.
Okay.
And I want to see that happen at Common Mirror. I want to hear it happen. I want to feel it. I don't want to have any inside talks to anybody. Make it public. Common Mirror is a public institution. Its reputation is public. Let's leave it at public. And I think that we should agitate for it and make sure it happens. If the old scores association, I was an old boy, and I think there were no old scores, they were old boys. But if the old scores association were active and vibrant, I think I would like to partly organize a petition,
mm-hmm.
send a letter of dissatisfaction, and try to stir people to do the job.
So that means that is also a teaching compliment issue and a whole set of other things, but I'm going to wrap it up here. That's enough for Common Mirror. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Down to Brass Tacks. I have a WhatsApper here that alerted me that the last exhibition was in 2010. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How are you?
I am doing well. Thank you.
Good. Of course, I love to comment on these things about the Common Mirror and the secondary school, but the facts are there's too much emphasis on academics. At the end of the day, it's about what you said. It's about a rounded individual and finding the core competence of each individual, or rather each individual finding their core competence, mm-hmm. so that they find their relevance in this world. It's not about academic excellence. That will be the case or seen for some, but it certainly can't be the main aspiration of everybody coming to a school. What I'm calling about is I'm concerned about two things I want to discuss, which one is the sanitation matter and the matter of how the workers are paid. I think it is time we realize that we live in a global community, and that the normal thing in the world is that a day is made up of 24 hours. So you work 8, you are paid for 8. It's this idea of day or night is absolutely no different in any part of the world. I mean, in Barbados, need to get with it and realize that we are part of a global scene, and we can't be entertaining thoughts just because it was practiced here over this time over, it should remain that way.
Okay.
The second one, mm-hmm. you want to comment?
No, you continue.
Right. Second one okay. relates to this matter of height of building.
Of height?
The height of building.
Mm-hmm.
I hear people complaining about the Hyatt building that was proposed, or the height is too tall. Sorry. Here again, I think we are just insular in our thinking.
Mm-hmm.
I visited a hotel, and when I got to the ground floor, I saw a different name than the one that I was expected to check into.
Okay.
I asked where was the hotel that I was looking for, and they told me, go to the elevator and go to floor 13. When I got to floor 13 and I came out of the elevator, there was a big sign there for the hotel which I wanted to go to.
Okay.
So there was one hotel from floor 1 to 12
mm-hmm.
and another hotel from floor 13 to 30.
There which country is this?
China.
Okay.
They're all on the same piece of land. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying that unless we understand the economic consequence of spreading out and not going up, we don't realize what we are hindering by saying, oh, these tall buildings are blocking or whatever. It's not about blocking, because you only have to move 2 degrees and you will be able to see whatever you want to see.
Okay.
So, but look at the economic possibilities. Are we thinking about our children and what they are going to do? And our neighbor's children, where is the future? There are going to be no large manufacturing plants in Barbados anytime in the near future.
Well, that's a prediction.
No, but I mean, that is just a statement of fact.
You don't know who that's going to change. Well, we got a farmer producing photovoltaics.
A manufacturing plant?
Mm-hmm. we had training. No, don't laugh. We have the Caribbean photo. There's the center. I can't remember the full name, but he wouldn't call his name. But he's done some training. Several persons learned how to put them together. We have. Yeah, don't say that there's not manufacturing. That's only but one entity. We're not gonna go back to the sugar days, as we know. But there,
right
elements
I'm,
of.
I'm thinking. Yeah, I would adjust what I said in relation to the fact that how we have known it previously of a whole bunch of low-paid workers working
yeah.
at a manufacturing facility,
mm-hmm.
that will not be the future of Barbados.
Okay.
So I just wanted to help our people to understand that, look, we need to look at what the global situation is and change our mindsets about what our perceptions might have been.
Okay. Thank you so much. Thank you. We're going to have time for one more caller. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good afternoon.
Yeah, hey, good afternoon. The concept, a graphic artist, I'm not really one, but it is a professional skill. There are people out there who make a living by designing signs and designing T-shirts and stuff.
Yes.
And they are paid to do so. It's a matter of respect when you engage these people and say, I will pay you for your design. When you put a competition out there and tell people, well, I'll take anything. Everybody contributes something and I'll choose the best. You're insulting these people. I used to work in advertising.
That's
for
an interesting
years.
Perspective.
Sorry?
That's an interesting perspective. That's how we got our national.
If anybody,
Anthem.
If the government of Barbados want to pitch for an advertising agency, they will have to pay 5, 6, 7. The agencies will present you with the skill set that you need to, the ideas that you need to have. But they would.
But if you're not interested in entering any competition to show your work, just don't enter. If you think that it is exploitation.
You are asking people to perform their work, perform their designs, use their effort, bring it to you, and you
for a competition.
Whether you're paid or not. No. But if you will compete. Compete on things for which you don't require professional skills.
No. You can't tell somebody. So
I
when...
I understand what I'm trying to say, because I would not do that to you. I would not say to you, I want to have a management person, so let everybody contend and have a...
But you have
one.
To bid, though. The same point of you put your thing out
yes,
there, you bid.
You will get paid for... You have to bid. But you would have a DNR, or you would have something to protect you in some way that you have done.
No, don't go there. I think if there's a competition and
wrong,
a person has a particular skill
and
they bring it to the fore... If they think they're going to be exploited, then don't join the competition.
Well,
I think
let the school children do it, and then they'll choose.
But the school children do it. They put out their essays. They put out their drawings.
I think to the guys who are actually use it for their. If you want, choose 10 people, pay them for their concept, and choose one. That's what you do when you deal with creatives. Pay them for their effort. advertising agencies don't get involved unless you say, you pay my staff, I'll give you an idea, you can reject it if you want, or you keep it. But either way, getting paid for my attempt.
Okay.
Best thing about, it's not the first time it's happened, it happens all the time. The main mind is a damn showing
so
up.
So I mean the graphic artists who feel that, who feel as passionate as you do, they shouldn't join up then. That's, oops, I'm hearing music. It tells me that we are at the end of the show. I see Larry in the glass. This has been the 15th of August, the Thursday edition of the Down to Brass Tacks edition. It was my pleasure as Lisa Gale. I want to thank Miss Misha Brathwaite for taking care of me in the studio. And I want to thank all of the WhatsAppers, all of the callers, and you listeners out there, you quiet listeners who listening on the program, I have your opinion as well. It's been a pleasure for me, and I hope that we fix our garbage issues, that the respective issues that we dealt with today are closer to being fixed in some form or fashion, and maybe take care of fellow man and be good to each other. God has given us life. Let us live it to the best of our ability. Has been my pleasure. Lisa Gale, Down to Brass Tacks.